Before we commence, friends, just say we received solemn tidings today that the young man, Mr. Timothy Dadswell, who was here with us recently, was called suddenly into eternity today. And also, Mr. John Rosier has collapsed in America and is in hospital there. May the Lord sanctify these things in our hearts. May the Lord help us then to commence with hymn 698. Pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the Church's living head? Hymn 698.
Thank you. This evening I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the book of Numbers, chapter 4, and we will read the first 15 verses. Numbers, chapter 4, and the first 15 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, Take thee some of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old. All that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come, and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil, and cover the ark of testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. And upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and shall put in the staves thereof. And they shall take a cloth of blue, and cover the candlestick of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his snuffers, and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it, and all the vessels thereof, within a covering of badger skins, and shall put it upon a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and shall put to the staves thereof. And they shall take all the instruments of ministry, wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger skins, and shall put them on a bar. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon. And they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, the flesh hooks, and the shovels, and the basins, all the vessels of the altar. And they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skins, and put to the staves of it. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary, and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that, the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now let us turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews and chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, when the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law. He took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, Lord, thou that doth lead Joseph like a flock, thou who art the shepherd of Israel, and that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Grant us, Lord, to worship thy great and thy holy name, that we might fear thee all the days of our life, and that we might worship thee in thy sanctuary, and come before thee with trembling, and that we might come before thee pleading the precious name and blood of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We seek thy sacred presence with us as we gather in the sanctuary this evening, that thou be pleased to grant unto us thy Spirit, to take of the things of Jesus, and reveal them unto our souls. Lord, we gather together, and in the presence of most solemn and most sad tidings. And Lord, we do seek that each here, who perhaps have heard these things only just a few minutes ago, and that they may have affected them greatly, or even early in the day, that thou hast grant that needful help, Lord, even in this service, and that there might be that working together for good. But we do particularly pray for the Dadswell family, that thou hast be with Gordon Dadswell and Brenda, O Lord, and each of their children. And Lord, we think of the extended family as well, and thy dear servant Seth Mercer, but all the family. And Lord, our heart goes out to them, and we beg that thou hast grant unto them that needful grace at this time, and strength at this time, and help at this time, that they might feel that underneath are the everlasting arms. O Lord, we would bring them before Thee, and we pray for them. And Lord, that if it could please Thee, to even to grant unto them some comfort concerning their son taken from them. And O Lord, do bless and sanctify this unto us and unto all that shall hear of it. And Lord, we think of our young people that have gathered together with him, and only recently, and as we've been reminded here, and O Lord, do grant that it might work for good. O help in this. Lord, bless the word even this evening, for thou hast laid the word and the passages upon our spirit before knowing these things. And O Lord, we do seek that there might be that which is used of thee for the good of one soul here. Lord, we do pray also for thy dear servant John Rosier in America. Do have mercy upon him, and do raise him up again and strengthen him and enable him to return to this land, to his dear one and to his people. O Lord, we seek thy presence with him at this time and healing mercies. O be pleased to hear prayer, that he also be restored to stand again upon the walls of Zion. O Lord, do be with his dear wife. How difficult to be separated at this time. Do grant her that grace and strength and help. And Lord, as this no doubt, there shall be an added burden to the Dadswell family, that this is their pastor, so far away from them, expected home to die and to be with them, but not. O Lord, we do see that in all the things that we cannot understand, we might fall before Thee, that we might humble ourselves before Thee. Do remember any here that struggle with Thy will, with Thy purpose, where the tempter gets in, and do be pleased to grant us each that grace to be humbled and found at Thy dear feet, and to know no will but Thine. Lord, we acknowledge our ignorance, our poor thoughts, Lord, our unbelief, our doubts, our fears. But Lord, we do bless Thee, that Thou art, and Lord, we would be reminded by that which we know in Thy word and also have proved in our lives, that Thou never dost anything wrong. Lord, Thou art full of wisdom and grace and might and truth. And Lord, though the dear Mary and Martha thought that Thou had done that wrong, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And yet Thou hast not done wrong. Thou knewest what Thou would do. O Lord, but what through scenes of sorrow. And Lord, we do seek then to fall into Thy all-wise and gracious hand. Lord, too wise to be mistaken, he too good to be unkind. Lord, Thy ways are past finding out. We bless Thee that it is so, that we sinful mortals of a day, creatures of the dust, sinners, vile wretched sinners, that we cannot fathom Thee nor find Thee out, that Thou art high above every imagination and every thought of man, and yet Thou art pleased to reveal from time to time Thy perfections and loveliness and beauty. We see a little glimpse of Thy majesty and of Thy wisdom. And O Lord, we do seek to be found then in a right place before Thee at this time. Lord, we do thank Thee for the throne of grace. We thank Thee that Thou art a God of mercy, that Thy mercy endureth forever. We do seek to bring particularly before Thee this cause of truth here. Each soul gathered here, we would bring them, Lord, before thee. May their souls be precious in thy sight, from the children here to the oldest. Work in their hearts, call them by thy grace, save them from their sins, reveal thy Son in them, prepare them as we have sung, prepare them for eternity. Lord, do thou be pleased to revive those that are backslidden, those who have grown cold, do bring nigh again. Lord, those that are far off, Lord, do bring them nigh. Oh, we do see that thou hast grant us to be made upon our watchtower, and that we might be in that attitude as we come into thy house, as to be in expectation as to what thou wilt say unto our souls. We pray that thou hast make us thy messenger in thy message. Lord, thou hast brought us here. Lord, we have known and we have felt as we have come along the way how easy that thou hast been able to prevent us from coming here. Lord, we have come here and we have brought thy word and we see that grace and help to discharge it and bring it here. And Lord, that there might be a word for one, that there be thy sovereign purposes wrought here, and that there might be this occasion this evening that shall never be forgotten in the hearts and souls of the gathered friends here. O Lord, do work in the young. May they know thee while they are young. Lord, we particularly pray in this time in which we gather, thinking of our young friend that's so suddenly taken. O Lord, do prepare the young and do work in their hearts while they are young. And O Lord, we do thank thee for thy precious word, that thou hast said that they that seek me early shall find me, and suffer the children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. O Lord, we thank thee for thy precious promises, thy sweet invitations to poor sinners. Lord, we do thank thee that thou art such a God that does pass over much iniquity and sin. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins have deserved. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we mourn on account of the abominations done in the land. Lord, that which we are part of. Lord, we have departed from thee days without number, cast thee behind our backs, rewarded the evil for good. Lord, we would mourn over these things. Lord, that which we feel in our own heart, the working of sin there, the abominations there. O crucify this self, that we no more but Christ in us may live. Let our vile affections die, nor let one hateful lust survive. Lord, do be pleased to grant that effectual cleansing, preparing, sanctifying and making meet for the Master's use. Lord, we do pray for thy dear people in those paths that we know that thy people must come into. For thou hast said that thou hast chosen thy people in the furnace of affliction to remember those that are in the furnace of affliction perhaps here. And thou shalt bring the third part through the fire to remember those that fear to be going through the fire at this time. Lord, do remember those that are chastened. There is no son that thou receivest, but thou dost chasten them. And Lord, as we gather, we know that if thou art close by the reins of thy dear people, that is very lightly, that there be a poor chastened soul here, one that is exercised. Lord, perhaps exercised because they feel that they are not exercised as they should be. O Lord, help them be with them. When thy lash is steeped, he on thee lays, yet softened in his blood. May we see mercies in all thy dealings toward us. Lord, we do see that thou remember thy tempted followers. Lord, thou wast particularly fitted and qualified to be able to succour them that are tempted. And Lord, we feel how much at this time that the adversary is so active with the people of God. first in one way and then in another, temptations from without, lusts and evils within, doubts and fears and unbelief. Lord, such an onslaught. Does any poor soul here know what it is? Do help them, do succour them. Remember thy promise that thou hast said that thou he will not suffer them to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye be able to bear it. Lord, often we feel to want to be able to escape the temptations and escape the trials. But Lord, thou hast said, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee, not take it away. And that temptation, be able to bear it, not have it. O Lord, do thou grant then bearing grace and the sustaining grace. And Lord, do help us to walk patiently and prayerfully, and that we might count it all joy when we enter into temptation and have to walk that path that needeth grace. O Lord, we do seek to bless thee in those contrary paths. O teach us to sing upon all 10 strings and not just one. O Lord, do help then each of the dear brethren here, remember our dear brother at the desk, the deacons of this cause of truth. We see that they might be graciously helped, blessed in their souls, guided in the hymns, and Lord, do grant that they might see thy goodness and blessing in the sanctuary. We believe that thou hast given to this cause of truth praying brethren and those who do come much exercised and burdened to the house of God here. O Lord, do grant that they might see thee high and lifted up, and that thy blessing to be upon the congregation. O Lord, do forgive us our many, many sins. Bless us with pardon, washing, cleansing, being brought nigh, and real repentance and godly sorrow. May the Lord Jesus Christ be very precious to us. We seek for grace to lift him up this evening upon the pole of the everlasting gospel. And may there be those here that look and they live. O Lord, we do then commit thy word unto thee at this time, knowing that thou alone art able to bless, and to thee be all the honour and the glory. We seek these things through thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 117. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. Hymn 117.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the 9th chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, the 24th verse. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Dear friends, what a sacred truth is set before us in this verse. And I pray that if there be those here affected by the news that you've had this day, that this might be where your eyes and your hope is directed unto the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, appearing there, and that your prayer and your desire might be that he be there for you. A sacred thing to have there in the very court of heaven, where Solomon was so full of amazement at the dedication of the temple, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this temple that I have builded. And yet there, O mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, the same dear Jesus that walked upon this earth is in heaven. The same flesh and bones that hung upon the cross as one of our articles of faith is in heaven. And what an amazing thing is this, that here is one of which it is said specifically that he was made under the law. Made under the law, a man, a real man, flesh and blood of the brethren, and yet he is in heaven. Made of a woman, and yet he is in heaven. Precious truth. The gospel centering in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he came upon this earth, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in heaven. But now our text speaks of him in heaven, with that body that was said, a body hast thou prepared me. And once that he took that body into that union with his divine nature, it is never now to be separated. It is always for the people of God, that he is now appearing in the presence of God for us. As one that has gone before, has come forth from under the law, has come forth from this world, has gone through death, and he is found in heaven, and he lives in heaven. And the blessed witness that he is with his Father, he said, it is needful that I go away. If I go not away, the Holy Comforter will not come unto you, but I will pray the Father, intercession. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, which shall abide with you forever. We have a beautiful type of the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 17 as he prays upon earth for his dear people. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me out of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And there he is in heaven, to carry on that same intercession, that same petitions, that same voice. What voice is that which speaks for me in heaven's high court for good and from the curse has set me free? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. A lamb as it had been slain, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. A sacred, blessed truth here for the people of God, that their hope, their expectation might be to have an interest in his intercession, that they are comprised in the you, that it is for them that he makes intercession, that separation between the world and the church, between the flesh and the spirit, is wrought in our hearts, and that we know that we have one that speaks for us. You know, the Jews, they may at first, many of them have never heard of Queen Esther, but they were to know about her because of where she was placed, right next to the king, and in a position to go and present her petitions and make supplication for her people. And what she supplicated before the king affected all the Jews. All of the people of God received the benefit and blessing of what she had to supplicate. Oh, the blessing of one in that position. Mordecai said, who knoweth, but thou art raised up for such a time as this. And for such a time as this, dear friends, we are dying creatures, sinners under a broken law. Those that must needs die, must needs enter into eternity. Those who have a need to be redeemed, to be saved from their sins, and to be brought at last to be in heaven. What a solemn thing to not have this voice to speak for us, to not have this intercession for us, to know nothing of the benefits and benefit and blessings of it. This intercessor, this in the presence of God, is the mediator, the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And as a mediator also, he is the one who is the executor of his own will. And as we just quoted as his prayer, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That New Testament in his blood, that will of the Lord Jesus Christ, the will of the Father, the will of the Spirit, that which is wrought at Calvary, was wrought there, finished there. Every one for whom Christ died shall be brought to a knowledge of him and to know the precious truths of this text, to know that they do have one appearing in the presence of God for them. And as we had it so wonderfully at the day of Pentecost, that the Lord was with the Father. He had prayed the Father, and the Spirit had been given and was poured out from above. What a witness on that day of Pentecost, that which he had said, he had done. And that first real evidence of the appearance of the Lord in heaven for his dear people, how it was evidenced in the giving of the Holy Spirit and what effect it had. How that they spake to glorify God, the wondrous works of God, with new tongues. How that the apostles themselves, no more fearful of man, but to speak boldly the things of God, no more the fear of man bringing a snare. If these should hold their peace, the very stones should cry out. What an effect! The giving of the Spirit. The Spirit shall not speak of himself. That which he shall hear, that shall he speak. He shall show you things to come. He shall receive a mind and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit sent by the Father, sent by the petitions and intercession and appearance of our Lord in heaven to his dear people. The Lord has said, 'Tis the time appointed. Arrest that one. Convert that one. Awaken them. Give them eternal life. Cause them to see. Cause them to seek after me. Cause them to know and value their soul and to know their need of an intercessor in heaven.' And that word will be effectual. Or has it been with you and I, dear friends? The Lord has made there to be a difference. One time unconcerned, but then the Lord has put a concern in your heart. And can you say as you come here this evening that it is your desire that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven appearing for you, and you desire that he might be appearing there for you, and that he is speaking there for you, and that you have a friend at court, one that is as the desire, as he said upon earth, 'I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' It's a good thing to remember that, dear friends, especially any burdened here with their sin, and bow down and feel perhaps the wrath of God, and these tidings make you tremble. Remember this, the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them, but to save them. And the Holy Spirit, we know, will first cast down. He first makes there to be a need of him and show the want of him and the preciousness and then bestow him. It's a great mercy if we have a desire for him and a looking and longing for him. There's one here. And you may say this, how is it that I might know that the Lord is in heaven appearing in the presence of God for me? How may I know this while here upon earth? How may I know this precious truth is by the benefits and the blessings of it and that which is revealed by the Spirit? And I want to look at the first part of this text because it speaks of the figures of the true. And there is much instruction from the figures in the light of the true, in the light of the New Testament, as to what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary and what his position is in heaven. Now we read in the book of Numbers, it was not the part which speaks of when the tabernacle was made, or the ark made, or the veil made, but that which we read was particularly when the tabernacle moved. When it moved from one place to another. Do you remember there was the cloudy pillar and the fiery pillar that was over the tabernacle constantly? But when that cloudy pillar stayed, the children of Israel stayed in one place. They didn't move. But as soon as that cloudy pillar moved, then they moved. And the tabernacle had to be taken down. Piece by piece, the tent of it and all its coverings and boards and all of the tables, the altars, the ark, the veils, everything that comprised it had to all be taken down. And the instructions, we only read a little bit about the most holy there, but the instructions very particular how it was then to be carried from place to place. Now we think of the most holy place, the sanctuary. That place where the high priest only went once a year, and that not without blood. There was a veil that they had to enter into the outer court, and then there was a veil that separated between that outer court to the inner court, where the golden censer was and where the ark was. The high priest was the only one that ever saw that ark. That ark, which was made of shittim wood, some 4 foot long, some 2 foot high, 2 foot wide, bit more, and overlaid with gold, and over the top of it, the same dimensions as the ark itself, was the mercy seat, and over the mercy seat was the cherubims with their wings pointing in and looking to the mercy seat. And that beautiful ark, how that it was designed to be carried upon the shoulders of the Levites. But while that ark was behind that veil, all that was seen, as it were, was the straight veil. The children of Israel would not have seen that ark at all. They would have known that it was there. They were told that it was there. And the high priest each year, he went in with the blood. And the Lord's promise was that he would meet them over top that mercy seat. But when they came to move, then it was still, and some of, if you perhaps look at some of the artist's impressions, you might see pictures of the Levites bearing the ark, and you can see the ark as is described in the scriptures. But that would not have been what the children of Israel saw when the ark moved, when the tabernacle moved. It always was that while that tabernacle stood, while as yet Christ had not yet come, that ark was covered with the veil. We read when Christ died, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top unto the bottom. And that showed forth that the wanes of the holiest was made through the Lord Jesus Christ. But all the while in the Old Testament, while that tabernacle stood, it pointed the people then, Christ is yet to come. The Emmanuel, God with us, is yet to come. The mediator between God and man is yet to come. The beautiful antitype is yet to come. But when they moved then, we read how that the Aaron and the sons of Levi, how that in preparation for moving, they were to take the veil and they were to drape it all over that ark. The veil of fine twined linen with the blue and purple and scarlet, setting forth the kingship and the grace of our Lord, and the fine lined the linen, the purity of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of the tabernacle, its furniture, everything, the ark and the mercy seat, everything sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the coverings set forth the Lord Jesus Christ. The veil sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ, even his flesh. But so the children of Israel, when they moved, the ark then was draped over with the veil, and then over that was the badger skins or the goat skins, and over that the cloth of blue. So instead of the gold of the ark, we're seeing the skins and seeing the blue, which would typify grace. But how different it was when the children of Israel were moving than to when they were sitting still. When they were moving, they would have seen the shape of the ark. They would have seen, instead of it being behind curtains and no shape at all, they would have seen the basic size of it. They would have seen the shape. If you got an object and you covered it with a covering, you'd still see the shape of that object underneath it. If after the service tonight the covering was over the pulpit, the Bible, you'd still see the shape underneath of the coverings. You wouldn't actually see it, but you would see it a lot more than it was, and if a barrier was between you and it. And so the children of Israel, when they moved, had a much clearer view, yet still, as the apostle says, through a glass darkly, of what was in the holiest of all. They would have seen the shape of it. They would have seen that it was truly there, and it was lifted up upon the shoulders. Now, dear friends, how often that is so in the experience of the people of God. I wonder how many of you feel that. By and by, as we are found in our allotted place, and we walk by faith, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, that he does speak for us, and that we have that advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But how many of you can notice this? A time when you've had to move, perhaps in providence, perhaps it's been your job, perhaps it's been in affliction, you've had to go into hospital, or times of bereavement, times when you've had to, as it were, move from your settled place, or from where you are in your soul's experience, and the Lord has brought that, of which, as he said, when the children of Israel were at Mount Sinai, you've dwelled long enough in this place, move to another place. Long enough under the law, move from the law. And the people of God, where they are to be brought from one place to another in the lessons, in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, in those moves, the mercy seat, the ark, is more clearly seen. More clearly seen. You think of dear Jacob. He leaves home. Stones for his pillow. And the Lord appears. Bethel, the ladder set up on earth and into heaven. He goes into Laban. And we know the changing of the wages those 10 times. But he discerned the Lord was with him in all those changes. Then we have that time which seems to be some 20 years, as far as Jacob's experience. Nothing is mentioned while Joseph is in Egypt. As far as he's concerned, Joseph is dead. Then suddenly his sons come and they say he's alive. The chariots are there. Jacob gets up. His faith, as it were, strengthens. Jacob, He saw the chariots, his spirit revived, and Israel said, Joseph, my son, is yet alive, I'll go and see him before I die. That first night as he makes his move, the Lord appears to him, blesses him, speaks to him. Immediately he brought to know in that move, he had an advocate above. The Lord spoke for him. The Lord knew his path. He knew where Joseph was all that time. He knew where Jacob was then. And those are sacred times. When at times when the tabernacle must move in the types, in the figures here, we get a little glimpse that we have an advocate with the Father. And we have one that speaks for us in heaven's high court for good. And so the ark, in all when it was set for, when it was moving, and especially we would think of the time when they were to go over Jordan, because that time the ark had great prominence to go before them. There had to be a space between that ark and the people so they could know the way that they should go, so that they could see it. And then it went into Jordan and stood in the midst of Jordan, Jordan setting forth death. And the children of Israel, though they may have seen it from afar off at the beginning, every one of them would have to file past that ark as it stood in the centre of Jordan. And it didn't come up until every one of the children of Israel were come up out of Jordan. Beautiful time of the Lord Jesus Christ in death for his people. And as he says, I go to prepare a place for you, that place in heaven's high court. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there shall ye be also. The Lord himself passing through. He doesn't beckon his dear people to come on their own. He comes and he takes them to himself. And so we have this beautiful type here. Then in the preparations of the ark, yes, it was still to be covered, but it was to be seen, recognized, and the people were to follow after it. Well, then if we think again of the figures and the illustration there and concerning our Lord Jesus Christ upon earth, we think of the ark being carried. The ark itself, pure gold. And it would have been quite heavy to carry too. Unless it was, the gold was very, very thin. A lot of people, they think that lead is the heaviest thing. Lead, 1 litre of lead would weigh 11 kilograms. A litre of gold would weigh 19. Gold is very, very heavy. When you read of all the golden things of the tabernacle, it was a very heavy metal, and that's why it was made out of wood, shittim wood, which is light wood, and then and a stable wood and the thin layer of gold beaten to be upon the outside of it. And the same with the temple as well. But what a picture of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing in the hymn, don't we, that God shines gracious through the man, sheds sweet glories on them all. And there we have the ark in all its gold, but what's it covered with? It's covered with skins. Then it's covered with the blue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it flows right the way through all of the New Testament, all the epistles of Paul. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the figures, the blue that covered everything, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is set forth. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. It was set forth. That's what was seen outwardly. You think of when the Lord Jesus Christ was there asleep in the boat. His humanity, a real man asleep. They awoke him, saying, Master, we perish. He arose and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and there was a great calm. And they were amazed, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him? Here they saw the Godhead shining through the man. These two natures of the Lord Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, truly set forth in the figures of the Old Testament. But here he is then, set forth as being in heaven, and appearing in heaven, in the presence of God for us. That real man. Now, we think again of how, while he was upon earth, the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to his dear people that had an interest in him. In Isaiah 53, that begins with that he is as a root out of dry ground. There's no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. And every one of us, born into this world, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, that is how he will appear to us by nature. But if the Holy Spirit reveals him, and no man can know that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit will so reveal Christ that the soul will see the gold underneath, you'll see the preciousness, and to you which believe, he is precious. And the Holy Spirit makes him precious, reveals him as being precious. You think if the ark was, you would speak reverently, but if it was to be set down, perhaps in the desert, and some people came across it, and all they saw was a draping over of badger skins or goat skins. They think, what a worthless thing. It's not even worth a second look. But you lift up the covering, and there's gold. What a difference. What a difference of the value would be seen. You think of how it was with Nathanael. Philip came to him and said, we have seen him whom Moses and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. Come and see. And as he was then coming, the Lord said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael, full of wonder, said, whence knowest thou me? Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And how immediately Nathanael saw the gold. Thou art the Christ, Rabbi. For he saw him as the Christ, the anointed one. It was the same with the woman at the well of Samaria. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Well, at first he just saw there a Jew in the midst of Samaria. But then he drew her on, and she was brought to desire that water of life. The one here desiring the water of life. Lord, give me that life. Give me that sight. Give me that view. Show me thyself. Is that your desire? Notice how the Lord began with that woman. He didn't say, yes, I will do what you want. I will give you that water of life. What did he do? He immediately began. He said, go, call thy husband. I have no husband. Thou saidst, truly thou hast no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and him whom thou hast is now not thy husband. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And the Lord drew her on in such a way, showing that he knew all about her. He knew about her sin, her black life, her and godly life. He showed her those things. And her testimony to the men of Samaria, come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? May we look closely at how the Lord revealed the gold, revealed himself to his dear people while he was upon earth. With Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream, and he couldn't remember the dream, but he wanted his wise men to tell him what the interpretation was. And then he required of them that they tell him the dream and the interpretation. You tell me the dream, and I will know that thou canst tell me the interpretation. I put it to you this way. If God reveals to you your sin, which is hidden from us by nature, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? If God reveal that to you and you know it, now as soon as Nebuchadnezzar had that dream told to him, he recognized it. That's true. And as soon as God's people have their sins opened up and as shown to them is in the word of God, they said, it's true. I am guilty, I am sinful, I am black, I am evil. That which thou hast revealed is true. But if God reveals that, as with Daniel, God revealed through Daniel what the dream was, he revealed also the interpretation. And there will always be the two together, that God will also then reveal his dear Son, and he will reveal the interpretation to it. And as one of our hymns says, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. A sanctified sense of sin and the leading of the Spirit brought to be like thee, one in the temple beating upon his breast, God be merciful unto me a sinner. He went down to his house justified rather than the other. What way has the Lord used with you, if indeed he has, to reveal his beauty, majesty, suitability to you as a sinner? Revealed what he is to you and in heaven. You know, Joseph had dealings with his brothers before his brothers knew who Joseph was. And there may be some of you here. And the Lord is having dealings with you before you know who he is. But there came a sacred time with Joseph's brothers, and it must have come very suddenly, and it comes suddenly to the people of God. The sacred, that chapter where Joseph commanded that all should be put out while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. That's a beautiful word, that. Sacred word. I believe there's some of you here you can remember where the Lord Jesus Christ made himself known to you. It is I. Be not afraid. When the Lord has been pleased to reveal his dear Son in you, you've seen him, a little glimpse by precious faith. You've seen that this God is your God, and that he who had been dealing with you, and all these things that seem so mysterious and you couldn't work out, the Lord's hand was in them all, and he knew it all. For how they trembled first at Joseph's presence, but then what were they to know that what they knew already, really? What position was Joseph? Next to Pharaoh. And yet he was their brother. You think of the words of our text. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So here is souls that the Lord's had dealings with them, yet they have not known that it was the Lord that was really dealing with them and doing those things in their lives and in their heart and revealing these things. But now they know, and the Lord shines upon it, sets his seal upon it, And then you see where he is, where these blessings have come from the high decree of heaven. You see, like Joseph's brethren did, that you have a brother, one of your own kinsmen, an elder brother, in such a place of authority and power, and he can say, take all the carriages of Egypt, don't worry about any of your goods, any of your things, all the wealth of Egypt is yours. You see, the authority that Joseph had, how much greater the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has. You think of the parable of the prodigal son. The father made merry. He that was dead is now alive. The joy is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which have no need of repentance. But to enter heaven itself now, to appear in the presence of God for us. We would remember when our Lord died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. It signified that way opening. But Paul, when he writes concerning the Jews, and also he is concerned over the Galatians as well, was that the veil was still over their heart. The law, they were still in legal bondage. That veil was there as if Christ was not revealed. You think of how it was with the dear eunuch. When the eunuch was reading in Isaiah, passage we've just mentioned, and he said, and the Lord directed Philip to him, understandest thou what thou readest? How can I except some man guide me? Of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself or some other man? The veil over, he could not see Christ. He could not see beauty, attractiveness there. But under the preaching of that one sermon on those precious texts in Isaiah 53, he was led as a lamb to a slaughter, as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, how we think then of the effect of that sermon. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. A dear man had had Christ revealed. He'd had the anointed of the Father revealed. And how he desired then in love to walk in those ways and to follow him. When John the Baptist was baptizing, and when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ walk, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The disciples heard, and they followed. You think of all in the Old Testament with the ark, when the ark was lifted up, when it went, the people of Israel, they followed. Oh, dear friend, may we be those who have the Lord Jesus revealed in all his suitability and loveliness, and then may we be followers after him. Those two on the way to Emmaus, they came back and they had a lovely testimony to the disciples. What did they say? And really is a sum of what would be said of one coming before the church. They told what was done in the way. What was done in the way. And how Jesus had been made known unto them in the breaking of the bread. Sacred thing. Are there one here you can tell what was done in the way? You have an experience of the Lord's dealings with you. And you can also tell how the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to you. Bless God if the Lord is precious to you. And that same Jesus who dwelt below, that knows his dear people and visits them, speaks for them in heaven's high court for good. He has entered into the holy places, not those that are made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. This is our comfort, dear friends. Always speak to the dear brethren. Those who know You have an advocate with the Father. Those who know you have your God. In your times of trouble, your times of need, be encouraged, dear friends. May you pour out your heart to Him. Lay all the matters before Him. Come before Him. Then spread your cases before Him. He is a friend, to His dear people in their need. He gives grace. Oh, think of the blue over everything. The grace that is so needful for His dear people. And without the thorns in the flesh, the troubles, the tribulations, the burdens, there'd be no scene set that grace can be so magnified. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may the Lord add His blessing to these remarks and comfort and bless the people of God and those that desire to have the Lord revealed. May He reveal Himself to you in all His suitability, loveliness and preciousness. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ridout will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pack on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 481. Descend from heaven, immortal dove, stoop down and take us on thy wings, and mount and bear us far above the reach of these inferior things. Hymn 481.
The grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.